Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Allie Worthington. Allie is the best-selling author of Breaking Busy and Fierce Faith. She's a great teacher, speaker, and writer.
Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. It is great to be back. If this is the first time we've met, my name is Allie, and I have the honor of getting to teach here a few weekends a year. My husband and I live outside of Nashville, so I love driving up to visit with everyone. We have 5 sons and a very elderly golden retriever who refuses to retrieve. And it is just a blessing to be able to be here with you. We are continuing the generosity series, and it's an easy series to give here because, as Tyler has just shown us from all the details and stats, said faster than I've ever heard anyone speak in my life. Y'all are a very generous church. You're a loving church. You're a church that shows the love of Christ to the community around you. So, quick and easy, short encouragement today. I'm just going to talk about the ways to live a life of generosity. 2 keys to living a generous life. We're going to be in the most practical book in the Bible today. We're going to be in Proverbs. I love Proverbs because it's practical. It gives us insight. It gives us wisdom. I want tools. I want a way to navigate life. I love it. When I first accepted Jesus, I was a 16-year-old girl in high school, and my mentor said, read through the Gospels, read through the New Testament, but you need to read Proverbs every day because Proverbs is going to tell you how to live. She said, if it's the first day of the month, read that chapter of Proverbs. If it's the 10th day of the month, read the 10th chapter. And even now, as I read Proverbs in the morning, I'll go through the day and I'll see something happening. And I'm like, that directly relates to the encouragement that I got from Proverbs this morning. So I love it. I believe as Christians, we need good, practical tools, practical advice that help us live life well, that help us live our lives in a way that the people who don't know Jesus see us, wonder what we have in us, and that go, those lives, when they know that it's Jesus, they realize that God is real, that God is good, and that he transforms lives. So the first thing I want us to camp out on this morning is that we want to be generous and we want to share our lives. If you have a Bible with you with pages, you know you are my favorite. Open it up to Proverbs, but if you have an app, that'll do. But if you don't have an app or a Bible with pages, we're going to put it on the screen. We're going to be Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25. One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. In the kingdom of God, we know that the more we give, the more we have. We are meant to be generous. When we think of generosity, sometimes we think that that only has to do with money. And money is part of it. We can't outgive God. We know that God says in Malachi, you can challenge me, test me on this. You can't outgive me. But we are meant to be generous with more than just our money. We're meant to be generous with the talents and the gifts that he's given us. And sometimes I think that we don't count the gifts that he has given us enough because they come easy to us. I have a friend that's good with numbers. And he says, it's not a big deal. I'm just good with numbers because I'm an accountant. I'm like, yeah, you're an accountant because you're good with numbers. Some of us can't help our children with their math homework without a calculator after 3rd grade. My son came to me the other day. He goes, hey, how do I multiply with fractions on a calculator? And I was like, I think you need to ask your father if it has to do with math. I'm not an accountant. Don't ask me these difficult questions. Am I smarter than a 5th grader or not when it comes to math? Because it's not my gift. It's not how God has blessed me. But the things that come easy to me, I think, aren't a big deal. The things that come easy to all of us, we tend to think aren't a big deal. But we want to go, well, how can I use my life? How can I use the gifts that God has given me to make the world a better place? I don't know how I grew up in the South as a woman, and somehow I either, by the way God created me or being raised, I missed the whole gift of hospitality. Not in me. If you come to my house, I will welcome you into my house. We're going to sit down. We're going to have a good time. But I will have to mentally in my head be like, offer them a beverage. Offer them a snack. Like, I just don't get it. Like, it's just not in me. I see HGTV. I see that people love to entertain in theory. I have never seen an episode of Fixer Upper. I feel like I'm the only woman in the world, but now it's a point of pride. I'm like, don't show me an episode. I've never seen Chip and JoJo. I don't know. But I have seen on HGTV that women do love to entertain, right? You can see couples buying homes, looking for homes. One's a professional dog walker. One's a professional Play-Doh sculptor. And they're looking for a home that's about $16 million. And it's all about entertaining space. I'm like, y'all love to entertain. Well, we are in a season of life in our home where we have a lot of children. Because of our elderly golden retriever, we have a lot of dog hair. We got a mess going on at home half the time. And we used to host small group and do Bible study weekly, every Sunday night. Sunday, church would go fine. On the drive home from church, I would start thinking about the public health hazard that was our home. And how I was going to get ready in 6 hours. And I would start getting anxious. And by the time we got home, I'd tell one boy, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. And I was the worst. By the time people got there, I'm opening the door, and I'm like, praise the Lord, come on in. And my husband and the kids are like, don't even listen to her. You don't know what we've been through. So I'm telling a friend about this, and I'm complaining about this. I'm like, you know, I need to step it up. I'm not good at this. And she said, you know, hospitality's not your gift, but it's other women's gift. And I was like, I know. I see HGTV. People love to entertain. And she said, what if you offered to other couples in the Bible study to host in their home? And I was like, I don't feel like I should put that on anybody else. She said, I think people would enjoy it. So I was like, well, I don't believe you know what you're talking about, but I'll give it a try. Three different couples were like, we have just been waiting for the chance to host. We love it. Mind you, they didn't have a bunch of children at home either. And I was like, that is perfect. I'll serve, I'll teach, I'll encourage, I'll do whatever I need to do. I will practice my spiritual gift of bringing store-bought food. Because nobody needs my casserole. Not good at that either. But my day job is that I'm a business coach. So I help business owners either start or grow their businesses. And that is my gift. It comes easy to me. I feel like the Lord just tells me what people need to know, right? And I tell them and it's great and it's easy. It's kind of like my friend that's the accountant. And what I do when I think about being generous with my life when it comes to this is I offer a few hours a month of free coaching to people who can't afford it. I have a friend that's an attorney. She offers a few hours of pro bono legal advice to people who can't afford it. I have a friend who's very handy. He helps people fix things in their home that they can't afford. If you have the gift of organization, I would challenge you, how can you use that gift that God gave you to bless other people? Mainly come to my house and help me, because we're a mess up here. But whatever the gift is, your gift that God gave you could be the gift of listening. The gift of letting people share their lives with you and just have somebody who cares and is there. But our gifts are important to share. They're given by God. And even though we tend to look at our gifts and go, it's just this thing that I can do. Oh, I'm just good with numbers, or I understand the legal system, or I'm handy. Whatever it is, it's a gift and we can be generous and share it. But there are two things that get in the way of us not sharing our gifts. And the first one is self-doubt. Self-doubt is kind of that inner critic that we all have in us where the thoughts pop in our heads that whatever we're thinking about doing isn't a good idea. If we're thinking about, if we do have the gift of entertaining, we're thinking about hosting in our home, self-doubt will come in and the voice of the inner critic will go, is your furniture a little dated? Now, I blame HGTV for that. Because HGTV makes us all realize that our furniture is a little dated. I walked in the kitchen the other day and one of my sons says, you know what would be good on the backsplash? Subway tile. And I was like, I don't even know what subway tile is. Get out of here. You could need to watch some other TV. But the inner critic comes in and is critical. It's what it does. Normally not out of any sort of harm to ourselves, but we have the inner critic because the inner critic's job is to slow us down and keep us safe. The inner critic doesn't want us embarrassed. But the thoughts that go through our head is the soundtrack of our lives. The thoughts that go through our head, that's the voice that's louder than any other voice in your life. And what happens is sometimes the inner critic will start going. We'll have these thoughts pop in our head and we'll get confused and we'll think that that's the voice of God. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. When God talks to us through the Holy Spirit, it is with comfort or it is with conviction. It's never with criticism. So when we have these thoughts pop through our heads, we need to go, is this a comforting thought or is this a critical thought? Because God always speaks to us in a way that's much nicer than the way that we would speak to ourselves. The second way that we hold ourselves back from living generous life is with busyness. Busyness is a key, right? Nobody in here is going, you know, I don't have any understanding of busyness. I spend all my time eating grapes that someone has peeled for me. That's not accurate unless you're a toddler. Like, we all live busy lives, but there's two kinds of busyness. There is a full, active life where you feel like you're living on mission and you're making time for the Lord and you're doing things that you love to do. And then there's crazy busy where you're kind of running around everywhere and you just barely get in bed every day and you're like, thank goodness I made it through the day. And the danger of busyness, it isn't just to our health, it isn't just to our relationships, it isn't just that we're not able to live lives of generosity. The big danger of busyness is we live our lives so fast and so crazy and trying to please everybody else instead of trying to please the Lord that we don't have time to be with the Lord to actually hear him when he speaks to us. The greatest danger of busyness isn't just our health, which is important. It isn't just our relationships, which is important, but it's our spiritual health. Because we lose the ability to hear that still, quiet voice when God is moving our hearts. That's why busyness is so dangerous. And that's why the two things we want to think about in terms of living a life with generosity, you got to look out for self-doubt and you got to look out for busyness. The way that we combat this in our family, because we have busy lives, is my husband and I both try to be really intentional to go, we need to spend time with the Lord and figure out what he wants for our life. And we are like, Lord, make it so clear what you want us to spend time on that we can't mess it up. Because on our own, we will mess it up. We'll get busy, we'll overcommit, we'll run here and there. But when we leave enough time and margin and space for the Lord, he will begin talking. He will begin showing us where he wants us to give, where he wants us to serve, and where he wants us to invest our time. So first one, be generous with your life. Share your life, share your gifts. Everybody in here has been given great gifts from the Lord. Second one is share your encouragement. To encourage just means to give support or confidence to someone. It means to literally put courage in them. I love that. I think in this world there are two types of people when it comes to encouragement. They are encouragers and they are discouragers. If you are an encourager, you are sitting in here right now going, yep, I got the gift of encouragement. I love to encourage people. That's what I do. I'm an encourager. If you're sitting in here going, I'm not sure. I think it depends on the situation. I feel like there's a spectrum of encouragement. You might not be an encourager. It's true. I think sometimes we think we're encouragers when actually we're discouragers. I had this happen to me. In my mind, I was trying to be helpful. Anybody else like to be helpful? Here's the thing. Have y'all ever noticed that sometimes on the internet people share their opinions and they're wrong? Like Facebook? Like political opinions? And you've thought, you know what? Look at them. They think this and that is wrong. And if I just gave them some facts and figures and a little research or maybe a chart or a graph, they wouldn't be wrong and have that opinion anymore. So that's what I was doing. In the comment section. And a friend of mine was like, I know you think you're trying to be helpful, but you're just being a bully. And in the history of the internet and social media, has anybody changed their mind because of a Facebook post or a Facebook comment? And I had to say, no, they haven't. So I had to just lay off my helpfulness. And what that season of life taught me is with the fact that there are encouragers and discouragers, encouragers will attract people, and discouragers will find themselves like, I wonder why people aren't hanging around with me so much. And I had to make the conscious decision that for me as a follower of Christ, I had to be really careful to make sure that the words I used were speaking life and encouragement. And there wasn't a chance that any of the words I used were coming across wrong. Because on the internet especially, and social media, and comment threads, which I believe that some comment sections is where humanity goes to die these days, right? My opinions weren't helpful. They were just coming across as kind of mean. Second proverb I want us to look at, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I think that sometimes we are the most stingy with our words, our kind words. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's powerful. Researchers say that we can speak several thousand words an hour. Several thousand words. In my house, I could speak several thousand words to my husband. And he would say, yep, sounds like a plan. And I'm like, wait. I have just told you my idea. I've told you my plan. I've given you the details, the background, my emotions on it, my feeling. I've contextualized it for you. I've gone on a few rabbit trails. What else do you have to say? And he'll say, yep, sounds good. And like, that's all he has. He's not being passive aggressive. He's not being difficult. He has absorbed it. He's processed it. Sounds good. So for those of us who tend to be a little bit more talkative, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and the words we say matter. How we choose to say them matters. A few years ago, I noticed this habit that I had, and two things. The first one is I would assume that people knew the way I felt about them. I would just assume that certain people knew that I thought that they were brilliant, or that they did a great job at work, or my kids knew that I just automatically thought they did a good job at practice that day, because I did. But because I wasn't ever expressing it when I had to give them feedback, or when I had to say that maybe something needed a little more work, or they could, you know, up their game a little bit in this way, all they heard was discouragement, because I never actively encouraged, because in my mind they already knew all the good thoughts that I was thinking. Make sense? The second thing is I thought, what would life look like if when I interact with people, male or female, when I see something good in their life, when I see something them doing something that I love, what would life look like if I just called it out and spoke to it? Because here's what happens. When we go about our day, we notice people having certain gifts and talents, and they're amazing at things. We appreciate the way people live their lives. We see how they make choices. We see all of these lovely things about people, and we never say anything. We just think, just through osmosis, magically, they know that we think them. But what would happen if we just started saying, I see this in you? That's wonderful. Calling it out, speaking hope, speaking support, speaking life, speaking encouragement. If for me, it changed my life and it changed my relationships. Because it just taught me, if I'm thinking it, say it. And if I'm thinking something that's not so great, I need to pray about it and make sure it's actually my place to say it. Because life and death are in the power of our words. That is a huge responsibility. Two things I want us to think about when it comes to the power of our words. One is the words that we choose are our sacred responsibility. They matter. Life, death. It's in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of our words. I'm going to say something crazy this morning. Here goes. I believe that Christians, as people of God, out there living our lives in a public forum, which we do on social media, which we do in our community, which we do in the office, I believe that we have the responsibility not to be jerks with our words. It's crazy, right? A friend of mine said that to me, and I thought, well, yeah, of course. But I wasn't necessarily living that way. Because the responsibility is on us. Because people who don't know Jesus may only have an interaction with you as someone that's a Christian. We got to make sure that we're making it count. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. For people who don't know Jesus, if they come in contact with you, we want them to go, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. I don't know what it is, but I want to be around them. I like how that person speaks life. I like how that person always has something nice to say. I like how that person calls out the good in other people, and I want to spend more time with them. And when they spend more time with us, that's when they realize that the difference in us is Jesus. And that is the best kind of evangelism out there. That is why death and life are in the power of the tongue. Because if we use gracious words, if we are kind, if we are encouraging, people get to know us. And when they get to know us, hopefully we can introduce them to Jesus. And then they make a choice for Jesus, and that is life out of death. The words we choose are our sacred responsibility. Second thing to think about when it comes to the power of being generous with our words, I want to challenge us all to choose to be aggressively kind. When you hear the word aggressive, you think hostile or, you know, intense. Aggressive just means intentional. It means we go into every situation and we go, how can I be kind in this situation? How can I make sure that the things I'm thinking about this other person, I'm actually going to say them? I'm going to call out what's good in them. I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to bring it out of them. I'm going to speak hope and encouragement and life. Death and life are in the power of our words. As I was researching for this, I found a quote online from a man who runs a prison ministry. I'm going to read it to you really quickly, and it'll be on the screen. He said, "I have a small prison ministry, and almost every man tells me that his parent, either his mom or dad, hurt them deeply by the words that came out of their mouth. Sometimes it is the words that are not spoken that can be just as harmful, like never hearing, 'I love you, you're special, and I'm so proud of you.' The words that are omitted can be just as deadly as the words that are committed to the ears of a child. And of course, this applies to grown children and to all people as well. Death and life are in the power of our words." If you are listening to this today and your children have children, it is not too late to speak life over them. It's not too late to tell them all of the wonderful things that you always wanted to tell them through the years, but you either thought that they automatically knew magically, or you just didn't feel comfortable saying. It's not too late. If you're in here and you have little children, it is the perfect time to speak life and hope and truth and support and love over your children. Death and life are in the power of our words. The part of this quote that wrecks me is when he says, "Of course, this applies to grown children and all people in general." We are all starving for encouragement. And encouragement to give is free. It is some of the most important generosity that you can ever practice in your life. To see good in people, to see hope, to see support, to speak to it, and to build people up every day. That is what we need to be doing as followers of Christ. We need to be people who are living our lives out in a dark world to say, this is what life looks like when God lives inside of us. We go out in a dark world every day, and sometimes we are the only point of contact that people ever have with Christians, and we want to make it count. We want to make it good. We want to show everybody in this world that God is good. He is who he says he is. And when you give your life to God, you are forever changed. There's something different, there's something special, and there's something impactful in you. And I feel like if we all leave this Sunday and we go out into our spheres of influence and we make a decision to be intentionally generous with our lives, with our gifts, with our talents, with our words, with our encouragement, we will change everywhere we come in contact with, our homes, our offices, our communities, our town. And with that, we change the world. And that can be done with something as simple as living a life of generosity. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. You are good. You are who you say you are. You have only good things for us in the future. You can be trusted. Thank you for your generosity with us. Thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you that you secure a place for us in eternity forever. Help us to live lives of generosity on purpose, on mission for the kingdom. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thank you for joining us here in our online campus this weekend. We really are so glad that you were here. We know that your time is valuable, and it is such a privilege that you choose to spend your time here with us. We hope that you're walking away from this sermon today feeling encouraged or hopeful, but also convicted to go out and unleash the love of Jesus no matter where you are. We hope you'll come back and join us next week, either here online or at one of our physical campuses. But for now, know that we love you and we're praying for you. Go out and love the Ville, no matter where you are. We'll see you next week.